Oh, I like it. Sneaky dragon. Yeah. Our theme song seems like a real piece of shit now.
What do you mean?
After that.
What are you trying to say?
I'm saying it's terrible. Guys, we're going to be doing the podcast. If you can count down from 10 to 1, that would help us and excite us. So if you're cool with that, let's try that.
You'll usually fall asleep around 4.
10.
9. 8. 7. 6. 5. 4. 3. 2. 1.
Yeah, you can woo as well. That would probably be good, too. Excellent. Excellent. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon Podcast. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
And this is our 100th episode, which you should probably clap for as well, because that's the kind of thing we do. Excellent. Thank you so much. Thanks for sticking around. We are following the critical hit show, which has just been completed.
Yes.
Live D&D comedy experience. Now, here's a bit of trivia about D&D you might not know, David. Who do you think invented Dungeons & Dragons?
Orson Welles.
That is incorrect, but a funny answer. The answer to most people would be like a Gary Gygax.
Gary Gygax did.
No, he came up with the idea of dragons.
Okay.
And he had a friend named Stephen...
Torquemada.
That's right.
Torquemada invented the game Dungeons.
That's correct.
Okay.
He did. That would be one way to go with the joke. So anyway... But if, say, we had pursued the way I was going to go, I would say, like, his friend had the idea for dungeons.
Yes.
And he had the idea for dragons. And so Gary went off to found Dungeons & Dragons, and his friend went off to found S&M.
What was his friend's name?
His friend's name was Spanky Peterson. And I just say that because I can't remember the name that I came up with slightly earlier.
Oh.
I have been improvising for a fuck of a long time, my friend.
Yes, he has.
Yes, I have. Yeah. This is, again, our 100th episode, something that we celebrate in our culture because we love numbers that go in tens.
Yes.
We are Canadian, yes, we are metric.
And we have fingers, so we like digital.
That's right, and we have base 10. And if you remember the Schoolhouse Rock with little 12 toes.
Yes.
Which was
whoa,
the
that
biggest,
was confusing.
That was the biggest mindfucker of them all. Those of you that have not seen this little 12 toes thing, what they basically did with all the Schoolhouse Rocks with math was, hey, what's 5 times 1? 5, and they would tell you different things. But with little 12 toes, they introduced a concept, which was, if we had been born with 12 fingers in our hands, we would have base 12.
We wouldn't be able to wear our gloves.
That's right. The current gloves. It would go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Deck L Do.
Yeah.
Deck and L being new numbers that we have created.
That's right.
And they didn't even go, this wasn't still 12 to make it make sense.
No,
this was
Doe. A deer, a female
and,
deer.
That's right. And our brains as children just went about this parallel reality.
Yeah. The non-math understanding children.
That's right.
The other ones went, oh, interesting. I can see where this is going. Just like, and I always answer those last three questions in the textbook, unlike David, who's like, why didn't they explain how to do the last three questions? Like, why make it all easy for 1 to 7, and then 8 to 10, there's no answers.
It's like the Ten Commandments. The last three make no sense.
That's, don't kill people.
That's right. Don't wear polyester blends.
Don't wear polyester
blends. And shrimp is evil. And yeah, the last three are just all like random shit. There clearly was an all-night project to come up with the Ten Commandments. They did the top ones, clearly, stealing, adultery, whatever, and then the rest are just filler.
That's right, because we like tens, and once it got to Deck El Do, we were just like, whatever, you can't boil a kid in milk. It's fine. What the fuck?
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, normally we do this kind of bullshit for about an hour, but we're not going to put you through that. We are not going to.
We're kind of going to put them through that.
A little bit, but what we've got is we've brought friends of the show back for this live performance. They're people that we would be very happy to see perform, and some of you may not have ever seen them before. But hey, tonight you're going to see them. Now, the unless you leave right now, in which case you won't. But it's kind of a dick move because he's right here and he can see you, and that'd be very strange if at this point you just went fuck it and just turned and left.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's enough for me.
That's enough Sneaky Dragon.
I came for the math jokes and the Bible jokes. Done. Up I go, out the door. No.
It's like they know our show.
Mm-hmm.
It's like math joke, check. Bible joke, check.
You talk about your deck for about 15 minutes.
Deck, check.
That's right, check. But tonight we have now
there's no deck talk tonight.
You're not really a performer, but the times I've seen
it's
you perform.
True.
No, but like
I think that's obvious by this point.
No, I come from a performing background.
That's
and
right.
You
grew up in a circus family.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was more a freak show than anything.
My father ran a Bible college.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Bob's Bible College.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what's the difference between his Bible college and the other Bible colleges?
It was a little cheaper, and it was mail order.
And they didn't have the last three of the commandments.
They just ignored that. Deck Eldo, forget about it.
They go. But the last...
We boiled kids in milk all we wanted in
now,
my
when
family.
When you're saying that's a goat, right? You would don't boil a goat in milk.
A baby goat in its mother's milk.
Well, that does sound
delicious.
That became
don't mix dairy products with meat.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it started with a...
Don't.
Most laws, most people don't know, most laws are goat-based it comes down. Most of our traffic laws are goat-based. Like, it was originally, do not let a drunken goat drive.
I thought it was...
And eventually it came to people.
Most laws are based on things we wouldn't actually do. Right?
That's
so
true.
So it's like, don't kill goldfish. And that became, don't kill people.
That because completely goes against my whole goat-based thing. I had set up the goat thing, and then you threw in goldfish.
I think you misunderstood me. I said goatfish.
Sir, you misunderstood me.
Sir, I misunderstood you first.
Sir, I'm trying to introduce our guest.
And doing a terrible job
I am.
The
first
5 minutes later.
Exactly. The first time I ever saw you perform was with this gentleman, and I'm hoping that you might do something with him tonight.
It's possible.
All right, we will see. Ladies and gentlemen, this fella, if you are familiar with the band No Fun, good on you. You know what you're about to see. If you are not, you're in for a real treat.
You might know him from episode 153 of Sneaky Dragon.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Some people consider it the fifth best episode we've ever done.
Some people?
Those are math folk.
Those are the math folk. That's right.
He came all the way from Surrey to be here tonight. Please welcome our friend David M.
Yay.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, David.
Congratulations. I actually just came from
Vancouver?
Yeah, just down commercial before you even get to Hastings.
Oh, that's true.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You're having dinner at Nick's Spaghetti House?
No.
Nick's!
Actually, probably most of you know me because I've been banging Taylor Swift. See, I told you.
That's what I heard.
The whole No Fun thing just went down the drain when I started that. But by which, of course, I mean to say her and I were going like this to each other, right? You know? Then we'd go back to her place and screw, which of course meant this motion.
This all is great for radio.
David is now making a screwing motion with his hand.
Yes, thank you. Swift, I shouldn't have banged her. She said, David M, meet me in the aircraft hangar. Oh no, Taylor Swift, you're going home. Taylor Swift, you're going home. Taylor Swift, she's just a baby. She does not take no. All she hears is could be maybe. Get off the phone. Taylor Swift, you're going home. Taylor Swift, you're going home. Taylor Swift, she's always open to new thoughts and ideas. For sex, she's always hoping. Just blow, go. Taylor Swift, you're going home. Taylor Swift, you're going home. Taylor Swift, you're going home.
Thank you for our first lawsuit from a pop star.
That's the kind of thing we'd do if we had talent.
That's true. If I was a performer, I would do that right away.
You as a performer, as we will soon see.
Oh, yes, that's true.
But Dave requested me to do this song. It is a song called Seattle is Ruined, and then Ruined. Ruined. The second ruin is underlined and in brackets.
Thank you.
Appreciate you saying that. Yes, yeah. Once great. Again, this is good
Thanks.
Radio talk.
Where's the comma in that? You should do like a Victor Borga. Ruined.
This is one thing Dave does every show, is a reference to someone long dead.
Torquemada?
That's right. Or Foster Brooks. Please
Seattle
continue.
Is ruined, ruined. Seattle is ruined, ruined. Seattle, you ruined it for me. The city by the sea. Seattle is good. Seattle has gold. Seattle in winter time does not get that cold. You're looking at me, it's flipping my lid. You're looking at you, kid, you, kid, you, kid. Seattle is ruined, ruined. Seattle is ruined, ruined. Seattle, you've ruined it for me. The city by the sea. Seattle is brave. Seattle is bold. Seattle has downer-laden coffee, I'm told. Let's go on a spree and spend a few quid. My puppy and me. Kid, me, kid, me, kid. Seattle is ruined, ruined. Seattle is ruined, ruined. Seattle, you've ruined it for me. The city by the sea. And all the other harbors by the waters of the rolling dark sea. Seattle is smart. Seattle gets pulled. Seattle has flannel shirts you don't have to fold. Space Needle and me set stories of Sid. Look at what we did. Seattle is ruined, ruined. Seattle was ruined, ruined. Seattle, you ruined it for me. The city by the sea. And all the other population centers of the region. Kid, take the damn CDs, take the DVDs. Take a character from Law and Order. Take a piece of me, fake some ecstasy. Take a taxi to the goddamn border. That's where Seattle is ruined, ruined. Seattle is ruined, ruined. Oh, what was I doing, doing? Seattle is ruined, ruined. Seattle, you've ruined it for me. The lady by the sea, the place I like to be. Someday when I'm walking up the pathway of some foggy park, playing 20 questions just to make my little doggy bark, I'll remember fondly in the glow of another group of dark, singing in the car, on all the words, but we're not stupid heart. Hear the herald angels falling all along the rolling dark. Ruined, ruined.
Nice.
I'm just a huge fan of songs that have lots of words in them. I just can't help it.
No, I completely understand. The song had one aspect, though, that bothers me, which is you did that thing where you sort of fade out, and it sounds like the song's about to end, and then I almost clapped,
yeah.
And I would have looked like a real idiot. And that's, I've done that at so many concerts before where it's like, that's the, and then I start, and it's like, look at this boob.
So you're well,
that's
out.
Why they do
you're
it,
you're used to looking
right?
like an idiot.
What's that, sir?
That's why they do it.
Yeah, is, just, you for, know, just for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the musician, like, points you out in the audience, and it's like the spotlight hits.
Gotcha.
Then you gotta go.
Yeah.
Gotcha, man.
Songs are just confusing. That's why I don't go to concerts. I don't understand them.
Yeah, you don't.
I don't get it. Like when they end, and it's an encore, I don't know. Are we all in on the lie that we're supposed to, like, clap yeah. now? Does he pretend to
I
leave?
Always pretend to leave. Like, I'm going, I'm like, oh, I guess it's time to go. And I put on my jacket, I start walking on the door, and then when they come back, and I'm like, what? They're coming back to play another song? This is amazing! Because they entertained us for, like, 2 hours, and now they're playing 4 more songs and my back is really sore. This is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, it's a weird coincidence they didn't play any of their big hits.
That's right. I was waiting for their number one hit of all time and they're playing it now?
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty much like the daughter who says she's going to leave forever and is storming towards the door and you're like, she's going to come back.
Mine never say that. What?
Now, David, do you know any other songs?
Well,
not to put you on the spot.
Funny you should ask.
I'm contractually obligated always to do a commercial message on behalf of my corporate sponsor. It's been my corporate sponsor for nearly 30 years, the delightful lime toffee chew bar known as Gorgo.
Woo! This is the applause break.
This is the applause break, people.
And because of my affiliation with the whole punk rock scene, I am obligated to do something else with it. So, Dave, could you hold the thing up for me?
Oh, David is part of this.
This is where my performing background.
Watch this.
Okay. Again, for the radio folks, or those reading the transcript, David is just taken to the stage. He's standing up. He's wearing a very casual shirt. Nice form-fitting pants. Please don't look at them. It makes him feel uncomfortable. You're looking right now. Please stop looking at Dave's pants. But again, very form-fitting. Please begin.
Here now, a word from our sponsor, the delightful lime toffee chew bar, Gorgo. Candy gets just eaten away. But this chew bar green lasts all day. Bet you never lost your head till you put some in your head and said, hey, Dave, take a walk on the lime side. Get Gorgo, take a walk on the lime side. The green colored girls say, chew, 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 chew. Gorgo. Come back, Dave.
That was so timely.
Dave, he's asking you to come back.
Oh, I'm supposed to keep on. Oh, darn, I had things to say. I had a hilarious joke, but oh well.
All right, no, Dave. Dave, wait a second. Everybody, hold it. Dave has a hilarious joke.
Okay.
Dave, you're up at the microphone. Say your hilarious joke. Very good.
Okay, any from Surrey?
Close.
Represent? Okay. I don't know what that means, but yeah. Well, that means you probably lack knowledge about Surrey. You probably are just afraid of Surrey. And, I could never go out there. I have to get off the SkyTrain before it crosses the river, and then I would be in Surrey. That would be terrible. So, shut up. So, here now, it's updated. We played at Expo. Did you see us at Expo?
Yep.
We did. We represented Surrey. Yeah. Yep. Then.
Did Surrey have a pavilion at Expo?
Ian?
Yeah?
You know damn well they did not.
I'm too young to remember Expo. I'm sorry, everybody.
So, here are a bunch of fun facts. updated to the present moment that we now live in, that are going to explain to you why Surrey is the place for me. Salad Basket of the Fraser Valley, home of 468,000 happy people. That's updated. A little bit country, and and a whole lot more. Surrey is the place to be. Surrey is the place for me. Surrey was incorporated in 1879. In 1993, Surrey became a city. Within 10 years, Surrey will be BC's largest city. We got Vancouver scared shitless. Surrey is the place to be. Surrey is the place for me. Grimy yet futuristic downtown Wally resembles Gotham City, which is cool. We're the home of the BC Lions. We have the largest and busiest RCMP detachment in the country. We're the ass in the sky trade. Surrey is the place to be. Surrey is the place for me. 43% of Surrey doesn't speak English at home, which means 57% of Surrey knows what fuck you sounds like in other languages. Surrey is officially a racism-free zone because it's open season on everybody. Surrey is the place to be. Surrey is the place for me. All rise for the Surrey National Anthem. Those are the only words in the anthem. Okay, check this out. This MILF is Surrey's mayor. She knows her smoking hot ass from a hole in the ground. Ask Mayor Watts about downtown bike lanes if you want to see her snort bourbon out her nose. Surrey is the place to be. Surrey is the place for me. Surrey hosts the Charlie Brown of Pride Festivals. It's small and sincere. And our Fusion Festival is all Bangra rock all night. Mumford & Sons insisted on playing in Holland Park. They must like my dog's toilet as much as he does. Surrey is the place to be. Surrey is the place for me. But you know, Surrey people should visit Vancouver our cultural and intellectual horizons, and Vancouver should welcome hordes of Surrey visitors to enrich your feeble inbred gene pool. Surrey is the place to be. Surrey is the place for me. Surrey is the probable capital of either the Muslim theocracy of Canada or the Sikh Republic of Canada. Surrey may be the least English city in the Commonwealth, but will always be the capital of go fuck yourself. Surrey is the place to be. Surrey is the place for me. Woo!
I enjoyed the gentleman standing up for the national anthem. Very respectful, sir. Thank you so much. David?
Yes.
Let's wish our guest thank you.
Wish him, we wish you thank you.
And we'll wish you a merry thank you. And we're both from North Delta. You're, of course, from Surrey.
Yes.
We'll wish you thank you in the traditional North Delta style. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
you're done.
Off,
get off. Get lost. David M., everybody! Watch your step. The steps are horrible here. The steps are not a stairway to heaven, except in a way they are.
Depending which way you think you're going.
Yeah. That was always weird, the rivalry between North Delta and Surrey. Like, you know, our 7-Eleven was so much better than your Max Milk.
Oh, totally.
Radically different.
Yeah.
Could not have been more different. We're a land of many strip malls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we gotta hurry up with our show, because sort of that reminded me, there is a bike lane that's coming right through this stage.
Oh, is that
and,
right?
Yeah, in about 15 minutes.
Okay.
So we gotta move it along.
Are we doing a half-hour show? Is that the plan?
Are we doing a half-hour show?
That,
no,
what
I think we've skated way past
sitcom,
a half-hour.
It's a sitcom style.
Is it a sitcom style? Well, then this is all based on misunderstandings.
Okay.
Wacky misunderstandings.
Yeah. Wacky.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What
did you ever see the Three's Company episode where they thought that Chrissy was getting an abortion?
No.
Yeah, she was getting a wart removed.
It sounds hilarious.
Yeah, it was pitched in the room, and they went, yes.
Yeah.
Chrissy was getting a wart removed. Yeah. Mr. Roper was listening through a pipe.
The producer heard this idea.
Yeah,
he said, that sounds great.
That's right. And for the whole time, they were trying to stop her from getting an abortion while she was trying to get rid of a wart, and that was OK TV back
then.
Wow.
It went to the network, and they were like, good. Sounds funny.
Right.
Sounds hilarious.
And they rejected like probably six other ideas that week. They were like, no dice.
Yeah.
But
that's
no.
Right.
Yeah. Ward abortion. Boom. That was TV back
the
then.
The show where she had her pussy removed. That was what? Well, they thought that was what's going to happen. It just turned she had to get her cat taken to the pound. You don't remember that one?
Well, I do remember. I mean, I'm going to go get my pussy pounded. I remember them saying that. Yeah completely. That was the biggest laugh in the whole thing.
That's right.
And then Jack fell down. It was hilarious.
That's why he's called Tripper.
Speaking of, I never got that before. It wasn't a play on Jack the Ripper.
That's right.
Because I expected at some point, when they finally lured them into a sense of security, he would murder them all.
He would travel back to Victorian England.
That's right.
And murder them all.
Oh, Three's Company with Jack the Ripper as like the Jack Tripper character. There's something there.
They go back to 19th century. It's These Company.
Again, we should end it here, but we're not going to. Earlier I said the word hilarious, and that's a good lead-in to our next guest. He's one of our favorite comedians. Hopefully he's ready to come out right now. Hopefully this is enough lead-in time for him. He's been on the show before. He is one of our most requested guests.
I just got a text from him. He's on the SkyTrain.
Is he?
He's at Nanaimo Station.
Okay, then he should be here by the time that I finish his introduction.
Yeah, by the time you finish the introduction.
All right.
But once you finish me interrupting you, then okay.
That's right. You know, basically, you've gone from co-host to cock blocker. Basically, it's just taking that one step.
That's what I'm,
okay.
That's what I'm here for.
Well, we'll put that on the business card. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our friend, you are going to laugh right now, Mr. Ben Mills.
Ben.
The transcript will state Ben is walking to the microphone. He is removing the microphone.
Oh, this hasn't been conducive to somebody listening at all so far. What do you say, folks? I hope everybody listening is from the greater Vancouver area knows where Surrey is and the SkyTrain and all that. Just untangling you can't see this at home or on the bus, wherever you're listening to your pod. I'm moving the mic stand over here. I'm not going to use that. How's it going, guys?
Oh, we're doing good.
Good.
Man. How about yourself?
So far? Good. Yeah, David. So if you can't, you guys can see. This is normal here. This is not so much normal. The people behind the 60-degree angle to the side. That's
We got kind of a Statler and Waldorf thing going. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
about
you
that.
Can't
we'll
see
try
that.
And leave you
alone. It's a little bit. And then you. There's a person behind you too. And that was never explained to me.
Well,
or anyone, but it's fine. Like it's cool
because our show is not explicit. We needed a fucking censor.
Okay.
Can I say fucking?
Oh, yeah. That's an ironic time. She let it slide. Well, thank you, front audience and back audience. This is good. And it's late. You at home, you might be listening to this during the day. It is late. You guys have to be comedy fans. Like, thanks for hanging in there. That is good. Like, as mean as you must really like it. You must really want to be here. So I'm happy. That's all I ask. Yeah, exactly. That's why I love doing shows. Or really early shows. Like, in between lunch and dinner. Those are the best two times to do shows. Really late on a weekday. I should talk about myself. That's, like, the convention of the art form, I guess, right? I think.
Sure.
Might as well embrace it.
Who are you?
My name is Ben Mills. Thanks, David. Well, by the way, I should have introduced myself to you before the show started, but I wanted to make it more natural.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, no problem.
Got to get those trivialities out of the way there. And the one thing that's going on for me right now is I sort of celebrated the four-year anniversary from when I quit drinking alcohol. So it's been 4 years. And the reason that I quit drinking alcohol is because it gives my hands eczema. Woo! That is not a very cool reason to quit drinking, especially for someone in show business. That's not a good story. They're not going to save a seat for me in rock and roll heaven with that story. Move over, Jim Morrison. My hands are itchy. Probably won't save a seat if somebody uses the word show business, too. That's probably, that counts you out, too. And it's funny you mentioned Nanaimo Station. I'm born and raised from Nanaimo, British Columbia, actually. That's my hometown. And you are you yelping just because you know it exists, or like just you're like, I've heard of there. It's very close. And if you haven't, you know, you just to describe it, it's like most places people grew up in Canada. It has no identity whatsoever. There's no distinction. It's like a mill open and closed, and that's the history of the town, basically. And so they try to do this thing where there's no culture. It just is this sort of place. And they've shoehorned in some kind of culture, just forced it to exist. And they created this fictional holiday weekend called Bathtub Racing Weekend. And right? So some now people are like, I'm listening now. I've heard of that weekend. And there's no cultural background for bathtub racing. Like there was never a soldier who fell down a bathtub or whatever, right? Like it just, they invented it. And what it is just, it's not as rad as it sounds. It's just these guys and these little sort of boats that vaguely resemble bathtubs with an outboard engine on it. It's like, and they go for a race. And then with the name Bathtub Racing, they made it up. It could have been anything. Like, it could have been way more rad. Like, guys racing bathtubs down a hill. It's like, and it's like asphalt's coming up and porcelain. And there's like other guys running up ahead, and it's like a running of the bulls with bathroom fixtures. It's like really exciting. It's really exciting stuff. But it's not, this is a shitty like, murr, murr. And then they just have local sponsors. So when the economy's bad, all the boats are sponsored by like pawn shops and payday loan stores, like discounted bus tickets. Like one was sponsored by a guy named Wheels. So. Some shady dealings with Wheels. And they would try to make it like an event, though. So still, they would be like, come downtown and meet the drivers. And you're like, my dad's the drivers, you know? the drivers gave me a drive down here. And then the actual race itself, what it consists of is back at a certain time, the bathtubs, they would race from Nanaimo to Vancouver. And then I think Vancouver noticed and like, stop it. they didn't ask. The Nanaimo guys were just like washing up on the shore of their boats. So now just the race is this consists, they just race out to the horizon and back. Just like, you know, that's it. That's all. And then the most exciting part is that the guys, they run on the beach, like the last 15 feet or whatever. They just get out of their bathtubs, they run to the beach, and they ring a bell. It's like, whoa! That's the culture for the year, Nanaimo, that's it. Oh, did you see him ring a bell? Did you see that? My favorite part was the bell ringing part. I don't know if you heard that. Ding dong, it's pretty good. See, I don't think bathtub racing can exist in this day and age, because now you can just go on YouTube and watch a guy ring a bell, you know? Like, there's just like an app on your phone and you watch a guy ring a bell. That isn't, you can't pull it off anymore. And I assume that's what an app is. I don't really know. I'll describe it to people at home. I have like a cell phone that only a crack dealer would use now. it's like immediately get asked questions when people see that cell phone. And because I don't get technology. I was born at a weird time because I'm still young, right? But I graduated high school in 1999, which was the last year they'd let you not learn about computers because they didn't want to pay for them because they're expensive. So that was it. It was this like, so I went to, I was in my yearbook making course. Yes, I was. And I was taught in 1999 in this course how to make a yearbook by cutting pictures out and then gluing them to like graft paper. Like that was the level of preparedness I had going into the real world. Like, get your grafting ruler and a sense of like well-being, man. Get out there and start measuring things and succeeding. So the world is scary. Like, I don't get technology and the phone. And the thing that's really making me feel old is the rapid advancement of public paper towel dispenser technology. That is wildly above what I expected it to be at this point. I'm like 32 years old and it started, and you'd pull a paper towel for most of my life, and then you'd wave your hand in front of a sensor, and you know, and then sometimes I wasn't sure if I was doing it right or it wasn't working because it's paper towel. And then now we've advanced to, we have those things where you put your hands into them and it blows air, and it just blows my hand into where other people's dirty hands were, I think. It's just like fluttering between these like dirt parts, and I'm like, is this problem?
Congress! Paper towel makers! I don't want to live in your world!
Just, I got on the ferry wiping my hands off my pants. It's like, I can't wash my hands properly now. I thought I'd be way older. I'm 32. I thought I'd be way older when technology was such that I didn't get it at all. Like, I thought I'd be an old man on my hover rascal and have some grievance, be like, I don't like the idea of having a robot landlord. Oh, man. Old man Mills is racist against robots. Well, I mean, in fairness, he's from another time, you know. Like, that's what I where I wanted to be. Folks, this is sort of a job that I do, and what my career is then when I lose my job, I go on Craigslist and whatever's written in all capital letters, that's my job. That's the winner. And if it has an Asterix star design to catch my eye, all the better. That is to bring me in. And I, for years, through most of my life, I worked as a cook. And people are like, oh, you're like a chef. You're like one of those TV chefs or whatever, a chef. Like, no. I am the kind of chef, instead of going to chef school, I went to a rave. And so I would cook at like lower end places, you know, the places with the word bucket in the title of the name of the restaurant, like the beef bucket or whatever the major meat and bucket would be. And, you know, the kinds of place, you've probably worked a place like this where you don't even get your own uniform. You have communal uniforms, and they're just sort of mashed in the corner of some office somewhere, and there's, like, stuff hanging out of a recycling bin. And then it's Darwinian, because you get there late, and you're like, oh, great, looks like Ben's wearing two pairs of pants today. Let me have that bucket of beef with my dignity intact. And the thing that's weird is sometimes, and you know this probably from watching television, chefs or like the guys in charge of the kitchen, they make you call them chef while you're working, like their title, or they get mad. And I worked for one season as a lunch lady in a university in Nova Scotia. That was like a spin-off sitcom of my life. And just, why were you there? I'm like, I gotta take on this new role. And it was big scoops, big dreams, like a reel with the hairnet, everything. It was all right. It was cool. And when I was like the Patch Adams of the cafeteria, I was like cracking jokes with students. Like, I'm teaching how to live life. It was good. It was a great experience for everybody. Working as a lunch lady in the cafeteria, I don't know, what was I going to go with lunch lady in the cafeteria shit? Oh, Ben Mills, I forgot what I was going to say on the show already. I was like, I'm going to take him on this aside about how I was Patch Adams, and then I didn't get back to the front part. Well, yeah, it was talking about guys who make you call them chef. So that very forgettable job, I worked for a guy, and he made me call him chef in the cafeteria setting. And I'd be shaving off lettuce into a garbage bag or something. And I'd be like, I don't think military decorum really needs to factor into this right now. But it seems weird. And then the thing about him, too, is his name was Jeff. That was the thing that really got me. So it was one syllable away from getting reprimanded. Just like, shh, everything's fine, and juh, then a pot of hot water is getting thrown at my skull. Like, oh, it's no justice. And then one day there was justice, because this guy got hired who was hired to be a dishwasher, and he had one of those fun, like, O names, like, that he'd given himself to be fun, like Bobo or James O or whatever it was. Like, he just tagged O onto another name. And so Rico walked into the kitchen and walked up to Jeff the chef. He's like, hey, man, what's your name? Jeff the chef's like, oh, he's mad. He's like, you will call me chef. He's like, sweet, you will call me dishwasher. Bah! And so that's why I don't know his name, really. I called him dishwasher. And he didn't last long. That would be, you probably assumed that from when I said, how much more time am I supposed to do? I didn't, a professional would have brought a watch. You saw the cell phone I was using.
One more thing, that'd be fun.
One more thing?
Yeah,
sure.
We're casual here.
It's good. We are casual. Yeah, we gathered that from the way it started. people gathering costumes from another show when the show started. Yeah, that is usually a sign that it's casual.
because there's a bunch of toilet paper behind
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, the folks at home are missing out. So, this show is about environmentalism. It's that's the theme. You guys were at the show before? It was really good. Anyways, one more thing. See, that doesn't count, even though that was the amount of time it should have been. But I know how show business works, as we established. I will tell you guys, because I was talking about work, that this is what is the most interesting job that I've done. And this is intimate, right? So you won't tell them. But I worked for one summer in Barkerville Historic Town. Has anybody here ever been to Barkerville before? British Columbia? Yeah, smattering. You can raise your hands. I can see you. It's good. And then that's fine. There's the people on audio. They'll understand you're raising your hands and like they've been there. It doesn't matter if you haven't. There's a place nearby where you're from, probably like this. It's there was the gold mining there, and then they left a town behind, and then the government's like, that's gonna be a living museum. And then so because the only way to teach people about history is to have some like student trying to get their acting credits from Langara College to act it out for you. In August for free, like on this rip-off internship or something. No, they get paid, so I think. And then, but credits. But basically, that's it. So there's a bunch of students, like, and, you know, people who just, like, down on their luck, dressed up as people from the 1870s, and that's their job. And then here's the dirty secret about Barkerville is that gold mining is very, very boring. Like, that is... It's just describing getting different colored rocks out of the ground. That's it. The whole shebang. It's like, oh, some people use shovels. On to the next exhibit. Hey, have you kids ever seen a pan before? All of us have seen a pan. And the thing that was strange is those characters, those actors were playing, they were real people. They were playing the characters of real people who had existed in the 1870s, and they would just, because to make it fun, they'd make them kind of cartoon characters, like, my name's Nantucket Jimmy, and oh, all my documents fell out of my briefcase, I'm such a klutz, like, ah, Nantucket Jimmy, the mine manager. And then that actor would do a cursory amount of research and be like, Nantucket Jimmy was a Freemason who murdered people with hammers. Probably shouldn't have been so glib. That was my interpretation of the role. And I think this is the thing that really got me was that there would be lower class characters that were depicted there as well. There was one woman, and she was the laundry woman. That was the character that she was playing. And so you'd walk into the house that she was in, and she'd be there like washing a sheet in a bucket of water. It's like splish splash, splish splash, like. Washing the sheet! This is how we wash sheets in the 1870s. So their hands with water. I don't know if you guys realize, you can't act washing a sheet in a bucket of water without actually doing it. Like, there's no way. Like, you have to method act that. They're not like, let's build her a hologram so she doesn't have to get her hands wet. Like, she was just washing a sheet. She was just literally doing the exact same job. It was like that job was so shitty, it skipped forward four generations and then rematerialized as that woman's shitty job. And it's weird to think that can happen. Like, that could be your legacy. You wouldn't know it. She didn't know that's her legacy, is washing that sheet. But here's something I want to talk about here. Think about this. What if 150 years from now, there's the historic town of Barkerville, the historic town, right? So then, and it would be actors interpreting the way actors interpreted history today in the future. So there would be like this actor, washerwoman, washing the sheets, and then this like group of actor audience members watching her wash that sheet, and then a group of real future tourists watching the actor tourists watching her. And what I like to call a meta Barkerville. Right? I think that's all the mileage I have out of that. I guess that's, I'm done.
Okay, so we come never, sit with us. Come sit with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, oh, I stepped in my own applause. You can keep that going. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can clap.
See, good.
Let's turn your mic down. There you go. It's off. It's off.
It's off. Fantastic.
It's off.
I don't want to drop it. No, not at all.
I'm a semi-professional.
Yeah, I knew I had to sit here because of the microphone, and then the other guy didn't use it, so.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we didn't want him sitting with us. There's reasons for that, legal reasons. Now, I used to do vaudeville shows at Heritage, like it used to be James Cowan, now it's called something else. And they used to make fun of all the Barkerville people there.
Like a rivalry?
Yeah,
of
it
sorts?
Was like basically.
So there's a hierarchy of.
Here was the story we heard about Barker, and you tell me if this was incorrect. He went to an area, found gold, spent it all on prostitutes, got syphilis, and died. Is that his full story?
Sounds great.
Yeah, pretty much, I think. Well, here's the thing. Put it in context, though. In the gold rush, if you went to get gold and you got rich, you were still, like, in the middle of fucking nowhere. Like, you're just rich in the woods.
So you formed a town, so you had somewhere to bring prostitutes to. Then you still had to pay for said prostitutes, got syphilis. Well, first of all, you lost all your money on prostitutes because you spent it all.
Well, I think
now
I don't,
prostitutes have got all your money, and then you die of syphilis.
You don't use the word lost like that wasn't his intention. Right? It's just like, yeah, I got rich.
That's true. It
and
wasn't
now
lost.
I'm spending the money on prostitutes. Yeah. You guys, you don't get it.
Yeah, that's true. There isn't a lot else to spend the money on. That is a fair point.
It's not
point.
Like he was doing something he didn't want to. He wasn't like, oh my God, more prostitutes.
Yeah.
I can't believe all my money is
that
going
to these
beautiful
women. That is the title of his autobiography.
Yeah.
Oh my God, more prostitutes.
That's right. Who I'm having sex with. I can't believe it.
Unless,
what kind of a waste of money is this?
Unless, here's the situation. It's like, say you bring 10 prostitutes.
I was thinking that the other day.
There you go. You got 10 prostitutes in your town. Now you've been with 6 prostitutes.
Yeah.
It's kind of the polite thing that you've got to now be with the other 4 prostitutes because they came to the town.
You're rich.
What's that?
You're rich.
I know you're rich, but you still don't have to be
Wait,
rude.
You're going
to
be like, I hurt their feelings. Oh, it's terrible. I'm so rich.
What has that got to do with anything?
What do you care?
Anyway, back to you.
So I'm going
to
come and take your money.
Can I drink this Mountain Dew?
You certainly can.
Okay,
now you can either have a red cup or you can do right out of your mouth. There, that's the other way to do it.
Nobody else is getting the rest of this. And you saw it, the fans.
Now, there was one other thing I wanted to ask you about. Now, when you're saying the bathtub races turned out to be people just going to the horizon and back, how do you know when you get there?
Yeah, it's not really clear. That's why the...
It seems like a cruel trick to play on someone new to the town. Like, all you got to do, go to the horizon. Horizon. Once you reach it, turn around and come home, and then he's lost at sea forever.
Yeah, or it could be a big hoax. It could be like the moon landing of festival season where like the bathtub just go around the corner and wait and then come back. I don't know. There's no hard evidence as to where the bathtubs go.
Absolutely, there isn't. I do like Nanaimo though as well.
Yeah, I grew up there. I mean, I didn't have a choice. I was just born in the hospital there and didn't go far. But, you know, it wasn't the worst. I don't know, I have like a great sense of civic pride. They had a lot of malls, you know, places to hang out, drink juice.
You're talking to two guys from North Delta, so we're not throwing any
stars
in Nanaimo. We had dreams of Nanaimo.
Yeah, if you wanted to go to the mall, you went to Surrey.
Oh, Surrey was great, eh? Oh. Wish we had a song about that.
Do you know it has a population of 498,000 people?
Yeah, because you were holding a sign saying that, though.
That's true.
All right, back over to Ben.
Hey.
Now, Ben,
I don't rank?
Every time that you're here, and by here I mean in front of these microphones, not here on stage.
Oh, yeah, that would make more sense.
I like you talking sports because Dave doesn't get a chance to do that with me ever.
And I'm sure that a D&D audience was waiting to hear sports talk.
Baseball, I think, is the D&D of sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is?
This is boring.
There's a lot of rules.
Yeah, there's a lot of rules. There's a lot of guys sitting around, a lot of people drinking Gatorade.
It's not like, accessible to other people.
Yeah. I think my point is made on that.
Yeah. Well, I have a question, and this is going to be kind of silly because the show's going out on Saturday, but I still want to know, did Boston win?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
So they won the World Series?
They did indeed, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, one of our listeners, Thomas Calloway, wanted us to talk about the St. Louis Cardinals, who were going to win the World Series.
Oh.
But Thomas, I'm afraid you were wrong. They did not win the World Series. They lost a game to Boston, just like in 2004, I believe, when Boston broke the curse of the Bambino and then steamrolled over St. Louis.
Here's the thing about the curse of the Bambino. Is for those of you who I assume you shouldn't bother to know this if you're here, but Babe Ruth got traded a bunch of years ago. They didn't win the World Series for a long time.
After 1918, they won in 1918.
But here's the thing: they were the last team to let a black player play on their team. There was like a 13-year period where they were at an artificial disadvantage just to be racist. So I don't know if you can count those years as part of a curse or just like you had a bad attitude. And, you know, there's that whole part.
So the racism is the real curse.
Well, yeah. For those period of time.
Now, like, could you explain the curse of the Bambino to these folks here in D&D terms?
What? Okay. No, I can't, because let's see now. The curse of the Bambino was the owner of the Red Sox wanted to get some money, so he basically sold Babe Ruth to the New York Yankees.
Okay, so what in D&D would that be? You want to get some gold, and so you sell what? What would Babe Ruth be like a character in D&D?
See, the problem for me with D&D is I can only like relate it to Mayor Funch. And
no one gets that now except these people here.
These are references to the, I'm sorry, I'm making references to the Critical Hit show. I can't relate it to any. Why would you even ask me to do that? It's so ridiculous. First thing you say, I want you to talk about sports.
For comedic purposes.
Then you say, I want you to talk about sports, but I want you to relate it to D&D. Well, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thanks.
Are we breaking up
gonna have
on our 100th episode?
Wow.
We're going to have the doctor explain the operation to you, but in terms of alien abduction. Okay, doctor.
Let me turn to Ben and ask this question.
Yeah.
Yes.
As both a baseball fan and as a comedian, was that a legitimate setup for something?
Oh, yeah, that was, you just lobbed him, I don't know, some kind of easy-to-hit baseball.
Okay,
yeah.
Let me turn to him. What baseball would that be easy to hit? What's an easy-to-hit baseball?
No, you threw a knuckleball at me. That was not easy to hit.
That's right, that isn't an easy baseball to hit.
Yes!
Showing my limited knowledge of baseball.
I totally dazzled. Yeah. What do you mean limited? I thought you were a baseball fan.
No, I am a baseball fan, but I was speaking in terms of people who are listening to this and becoming
bored. That guy who doesn't know anything.
You know what? Let me say this. People out there and people in the listening audience, they like
and people in here.
That's right, in our internal people.
I'm talking about the people I ate because I'm accountable.
That's one thing actually I don't like is the idea that like, oh, you like comic books. You must not like...
Yeah.
You know this. And it's like, no, of course.
You must not like sex.
Nobody likes baseball. It's weird that there's two people here that like baseball and that they're both in front of microphones.
And I'm trying to set you up for it. And you're both shooting me down and go like, no one here wants to hear about baseball.
I have a specific Fenway Park related thing. Is I went to where the World Series ended tonight. I went to Fenway Park last year.
Wow.
And it was when Boston was horrible and they booed their coach all the time. And I don't know their team at
Manager,
all, so that's just as good as
Bobby Valentino.
That's just as good as people cheering is watching a man get booed out of his job. So like I was fine because I didn't know the team very well. It didn't matter that they sucked.
Yeah.
But the game that I went to, the one of their classic players, this guy Johnny Pesky, had died that day. And there was already a statue of this guy in front of the baseball stadium. But it's like a really old team, yeah. So he's like, he was a famous guy, but I don't know who he was. It's a really old team, so he just died from being really old. It was cool. And then people were like crying, and I'm like, who is this guy? I don't know. And then at the beginning of the game, they played taps. Like, it was like a wake. It was like, and I was like, I came here to watch grown men play sports. Like, this is really a big downer.
I hope you yelled that out.
Yeah. It's,
what is this? Quit playing taps!
And like, this is the most depressing bag of peanuts I've ever had lobbed at me. And then, and here's the other thing, just as a coincidence, they were having a telethon to raise money for dying children, which was fine, that was a good idea, but they would have the kids introduce the players, which was a fine idea, but then they would announce what they were dying from for no apparent reason.
Tell me they stopped playing taps while they did.
Yeah, no, they didn't play taps. And I'm not gonna, it's too depressing to even give a fake example, but no kid got up there and was just like, I'm Billy and I'm doing great. Like it was, and it was the weirdest, and they were
playing. I'm dying of gout.
Yeah, gout is still lousy. And then,
long and lingering.
I had to be challenged my own sense of mortality, and like I just wanted to go see, like, eat a hot dog, and then everyone was just thinking about death the whole time.
Did the kids announce their disease?
No.
Oh, okay.
Somebody else would introduce
them.
It's
not like
them.
The game player. No, yeah, they don't do it that way.
That'd be so terrible. My name is Billy, and I have had a bad dentist.
What?
There's a lot of impaction. It went up.
I was just thinking, if you at any point did boo the sick children, you could not complain about any hecklers for the rest of your life. Your karma would be so in the black.
But anyways, yeah, way to go, you know, Boston Red Sox. I think it was the point of that story.
And
I guess.
Let's hope all those kids are okay.
Yeah.
It took a turn for the good.
Yeah, they're probably fine.
Well, I think what the series proved is that you shouldn't continually pitch really pitchable or hittable balls to the best hitter on the team.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, David Ortiz had like an over 600 batting average.
It was over. Like it was over 700.
Was it over 700?
Yeah, it was 723. So that means seven out of 10 times he hit the ball, seven times, which a really good batting average in baseball is around 350, 400. That'd be considered like awesome that you hit it 4 out of 10 times. He was hitting it 7 out of 10 times, and yet they pitched to him every time he got up to bat. They didn't pitch around him. They didn't say like get the back, you know, get the back catcher. I hope that's what he's called. Because now I can't remember the name for the guy.
Don't worry, Dave. You're not losing them with
this.
They don't get
the dog catcher to stand up, and they pitch out, and then he has to walk to first base.
Right.
No, they pitch straight to him.
I'm glad we're covering
this. Over a game.
I'm surely no media outlet will cover the World Series, so
yeah,
I'm glad
this. You guys aren't going to hear
podcast.
And
when this drops on Saturday, it is going to wow people. They're going to be like, I didn't even think of that. Who would think?
But they're not going to have a fight in the middle of it over D&D. They're not going to mention
that's
the
true.
Sick children and booing them. They're not going to mention all that stuff. And that's the unique angle we bring to this.
Every time.
I think we have turned some people off baseball that love baseball. I think we have not only not brought people in with baseball, we have pushed them away.
We gave them a baseballectomy.
We have.
Yeah.
I am glad to hear, though, your eczema's cleared up.
Yeah, I'm good, guys.
All I'm saying is I got it for the first time this month from stress.
From stress?
Yes. So I have to put it on. And so
100 episodes with me will do that.
That's right. So I'm just worried that I'm doing steroids on my hands.
I also had shingles this year as well. All the old people
Oh, my God, that's
diseases.
The worst.
Yeah.
Wow. I see all the ads for the old people standing around
turning
a fire.
Into a house.
And then a part of their body glows. And then they're like really sad for a while. And like,
it does have a hilarious name, though. You can't doubt that. Shingles? It's kind of like jingles or like the things you put on top of your house. It's a little bit of both. So.
Is there any relation to shingles? Is there a reason they call it that?
No. I don't know I'm supposed to block the joke again, but no.
No, that's not a block. I'm just setting it up as
he
like a really
He just
set curious.
You up with the most hilarious question. Anybody, could you describe shingles as like D&D terms?
All I know, this thing, I know one guy who, that'd be the pain plague.
Is it a critical
that's
hit?
That's the pain plague. Yeah, you lose 30 points
is
and you
like
take a healing
surge. Is it like rolling a 20-sided die? Was it like you were bitten by a kobold?
There! Where were those fucking references? You just got a big Santa sack full of them, but you won't pull it out. It's not the holidays yet. Fine, whatever. No, I was just, the only reason I was curious, and we got to wrap it up soon.
A gelatinous cubed Ian.
It's because literally all I see is the ad with the old person with the glowing side, and it doesn't seem to super bother them, but they're having a monologue where they're sad. So it's just a painful thing that's...
Yeah, it's unsightly, so, you know.
That's what he says, he can't put on a shirt.
Yeah, it hurts. And then... And then it makes you think, you're like, why is this happening to me? I'm young-ish. Why not just some oldish person? You know, why me in my prime?
I had...
You're wishing it on us.
I think you're old-ish.
Yeah, we're oldish.
I'm oldish.
Yeah. About a year ago, I had gout, and I felt like, why is this happening to me, and what year is it?
It's also a funny name. Another funny name. If you give it, see, it got a laugh. It was just like it's like if there was a disease called the bee's knees, then you wouldn't have empathy for that person.
Oh man, what would that be though?
Yeah, it's like you have like pollen buildup. You're like, I can't drive a truck anymore. Does this really hurt my ability to feed my family?
Yeah, you got to really just drain the honey out of your legs, and it's just disturbing.
But it's just hysterical too.
It is.
Yeah. It's a cute name for pus-filled knees.
I almost had an out there, and then pus-filled knees came up.
Oh, I have a 5-minute diatribe about pus-filled knees.
Okay.
Let's get in there, folks.
You know,
take your jackets off, the audience. We're getting into this.
Especially if you have shingles, because it's very painful. Just remove your shirt. It's glowing like Tinkerbell was just like, gave you a little spell on there.
Okay.
We are breaking up. Is that what's happening?
It's finally happened, folks.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for...
Hey, wait a second.
What's that?
Were we going to bring up two more special guests?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
We can, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so we're going to kick Ben off the stage.
Okay, Ben, sorry about that.
See you later, everybody.
That's all right, really fast. Ben, sorry, that's awkward.
So,
okay, my apologies.
This might be the end of the show, I don't know. I was just going to, do people want to meet Millis and Phyllis? We can bring up really quick.
All right, why don't you explain who they are?
Millis and Phyllis are my daughters. That's their disguise name, that's their code name, because we don't want to actually, have people yelling out their names while they're walking down the street. So in order to keep that from happening, I'm going to bring them up on stage so you know who they are.
All right. Real fast, let's bring them up.
Bring them up. Millis, come on up on stage. Millis, Millis, come on.
There, all right.
They can sit in.
All right, you got to pad some time.
Okay, well, thanks. So anyway, about gelatinous cubes. Hi. This is Phyllis. Come on, Millis. Get up here.
Sorry about
those
that.
Those most dangerous stairs on
there. There you go.
Why did you leave, Ian?
I'll sit on the side. Go for it.
Okay.
Voice too.
He has a loud enough voice, he can do it.
I can.
Okay, so this is Phyllis, and this is Millis. There we go. Millis is all, this is her life. Her life is Game of Thrones, and what else? Supernatural. This is Phyllis. Her life is all about the TV show Grimm and Teen Wolf. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, you know us really well. Thanks.
Well, I don't see them that often. Cause,
yeah,
you know.
back in our day, your dad could only embarrass you in the car with your friends. But nowadays, your dad can get you a podcast, you up on it,
oh,
on
man.
A stage in front of people,
yeah.
And then go, hey, tell us that thing you like. You know, the people, go. Sing that song you sing for the people. Do that dance.
Yeah, do that funny dance he did last week, Phyllis.
Dave, you're allowed to ask two questions of each. Two questions
you,
each
you
of,
ask
your,
the first
of your
question.
Daughters,
you
and then
the
we got to wrap up.
You so. Ask the first question.
Okay. Me, ask the
yeah,
first
you
question.
Ask the first question.
What is your dad like at home?
He's awful. He's ridiculous.
He never listens.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay,
I'm
so
a master.
Established terrible father.
Yep, terrible father.
Yeah.
All right, David, you ask a question.
I just want to say I have the remarkable ability to be asked a question like, are you listening, Dad? And then I say yes. But I'm actually not listening.
Yes.
And so then after I've said yes, they tell me a gigantic story that's probably quite hilarious, only I'm too busy watching someone play a nose flute on YouTube.
No, but Dad, the nose flute video, I was in the middle of a story
yes.
when you started playing it. You had me listening.
I thought you were finished. There was an overly long pause and I thought, nose flute.
Terrible father.
Not at all.
The original title of this podcast was Terrible Father. That was the original, but you guys were never available to do the podcast, so I had to fill in for the last 99 episodes. Finally, it's reaching what it was supposed
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, finally. So I guess my question would be, both of you are gigantic fans of Sneaky Dragon, right? You both listen to it all the time, right? Right, Phyllis?
Yeah.
All the time. You've always got it on. Whenever I look at you, you're just like chuckling to yourself. Oh, Sneaky Dragon.
Yeah, love it.
Millis, big fan of Sneaky Dragon?
I actually listen to every episode over the summer, so.
What? So now, no wonder she's sick of me. That's terrible because now she knows more about me than I know about myself.
Now,
I can't remember any episodes.
So your question to your daughters is, do you listen to me?
Yes, that's right.
Do you listen to my podcast? Not, tell me about yourself.
Oh,
what are your hopes
I know
and
all
dreams?
About them.
What do you wish to be? Tell Papa more about Papa. This is how King Lear started, and it didn't end well.
Just so you know, Millis, I'm leaving everything to Phyllis, all my estates and my jester.
Okay.
What? Yeah.
My jester.
And your jester?
Yes.
Okay,
Leaving all that to Phyllis.
That's okay. What you get for caring.
Okay, we've got literally 1 minute left. These nice people have been here this whole time.
Okay.
So one minute. Why don't you tell your father something that he doesn't know about you, but you want to tell him?
Well, this could get awkward.
I don't like being surprised by being pulled on stage in the middle of a podcast.
I don't think that's true
Very
at all.
Good. This is a healing moment.
I don't think that's true. You'd be surprised how not true that is.
Okay, she has told you something important.
I don't
you
believe
said
it.
It's a lie.
No.
That's good parenting all the way around.
This
Dad,
right
I want a dog.
This
no,
is right
you
out
don't.
Of Dr. Spock, the Dr. Spock from Star Trek.
Okay.
Or is that Mr. Spock? Yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't like when you don't give me enough time to retreat when you tell me to come on stage.
This all seems to be a blame game, and I don't think we want to play that, do we? Because it's supposed to be like a happy 100th episode. It's an anniversary of
yours. Yeah, it's supposed to be happy, kids. Come on, happy times.
No one's happier than when they're asked to be happy. Aren't we all having fun?
Let's not ruin Christmas again. It's Daddy's special 100th episode. Talk about Daddy. What you like best about Daddy. Daddy had dreams. Okay. We've kept them here for an hour. We're going to get kicked out. Yeah. A bike lane's coming through.
Yes.
We got to wrap this up. But you guys can stick around for this last little bit.
Actually, Millis, I'd like you to go around the merch table. Thanks. So anybody, just so you know, there's t-shirts and title cards for sale. This over there, t-shirts are $20 or $25, and title cards are $1. $1 for one of the beautiful title cards that we've made.
You're going to be writing a Carrie Fisher-esque book really soon.
I want a book coming out called Daddy Dearest.
All right, thank you so much, both Millis and Phyllis, for being on our show.
Yes.
Thank you so much, David M. Thank you so much, Ben Mills. Thanks, everyone, for sticking around so long. We really appreciate it. Thanks to Rio Theater for letting us do this. We have sponsors, which are this week, Strategies, Games, and Hobbies. I'm going to give a $20 off coupon to Millis and Phyllis. There you go. You can go get yourself a game. You can play it. You don't have to play it with your father. You do not have to play it with your father. There you are. Thank David.
Yes.
It's been a treat doing these Hunter shows with you.
Yes.
I may do at least three more.
That'd be great.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We've been Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick.
We're done. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, everybody.
Hey. Thanks, Gabe. Yeah, that'd be it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Okay.
Everyone can hear me. We're not speaking.
Okay. Anytime.
You doing it?
Believe it.
Okay.